Well, it's lovely to be up here. But as I said, I'm Mike. Mike was going to speak on listening to God. And so I haven't got his notes. And I've got some of my own thoughts here. But we're just going to see what the Lord wants to do with us this morning. And so I was thinking particularly of T.S. Eliot, the poet. He wrote this line, which was distracted from distraction by distraction. Distracted from distraction by distraction. And that is just an extraordinary description of my prayer life. I don't do distraction. I don't do distraction squared. I do distraction cubed. And for some of us, of course, that distraction can arise through a number of ways. We can be distracted by the constant chit-chat through social media, where celebrity culture drives media and the media drives celebrity culture. Or the distraction can arise because of circumstances. We may be facing redundancy. There's the whole worry we have about friends and families and broken relationships. We may be having worries about health. For me, last year was most of the year spent in intense pain. So amongst the tempests of pain and the fogs of painkillers, I was distracted, cubed. It's in those times, actually, when we are distracted, that God has given us an enormous resource from the past that can help us. Luke's gospel has 9 references to Jesus praying. There are 17 references in the whole of the gospels to Jesus praying, to use his words to help us to pray. And I found great solace and great help in praying some of the prayers from the saints from the past. Those clouds of witnesses, who have gone before us, and by praying their prayers and applying those prayers to me, help me to listen to God, to hear God. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 35, the writer says, he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession. Jesus always lives to make intercession. Jesus prays right now, even yesterday, tonight as well, and yes, tomorrow. Just hear this amazing thing. This amazing thing that Jesus is praying is always in the present tense. Always in the present tense for you and I, for you and me. It's so encouraging to know that is the case. So when I don't feel like praying, or I'm struggling to hear God, or I don't have time to pray, he's still praying. So it was about 46 and a half years ago when I became a follower of Jesus. And I look back over those years, and there are times when there's been amazing moves of the Spirit in times of worship, or when I've been desperate, that I've heard God, and it's been an amazing experience. But to be honest with you, a lot of the times have been hard. It's been challenging, pressing into his presence. But I find it incredibly encouraging, even today, at my stage in this walk, to know that he is always praying in the present tense for me. Always praying in the present tense for you. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, but also wrote a number of books on spiritual theology, said these words in his book called Tell It Slant, which is his book on prayer. He said this: silence, which in prayer consists mostly in attentive listening, is non-negotiable. Listening, which necessarily requires silence on our part, is as much a part of language as words. Silence is as much a part of language as words. You know, when I was involved with form leadership and used to do some stuff on how to preach and how to speak publicly, I used to say to the interns that actually a silence, a pause in what you say, is effectively a word. And so what goes before that silence and what goes after that silence is crucial. Really important. And in our prayers, silence is important. It is as much of the language as words as any other word. He also wrote this: Jesus is our master in prayer. He is also our companion in prayer. There are times when it's been so hard that I've been distracted, cubed, that I've just been saying Jesus and he's just been saying John. And then Eugene Peterson said this: prayer is the language of the Trinity, intimately personal. So how can my prayers, how can your prayers become more intimately personal? How can I listen to God in a way that is more personal, more intimate? And to help us this morning, I want to look at two passages from Paul's letter to the Romans. So if you do have a Bible to hand, that would be great, either a physical or smartphone. But I'm going to begin with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and it's verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. For the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I think that's an incredibly profound two verses. And why do I think it's so profound? It's this. That there will always be one in heaven who is at God's right hand praying for us as believers, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one on earth in our hearts who's been given to us. And so why it's so profound, so amazing, is that Christ intercedes for us in heaven and the Spirit intercedes with us on earth. And that surely has to be the most intimate thing we can have. That in this present tense of praying that Jesus has for us, that he praying in heaven for me in the present tense, and the Spirit of God in me, with me, here on earth in the present tense. And I find that just amazing. I find that so incredibly encouraging. It's great news, isn't it, for my wearied, my tired, my stressed, my fearful, my anxious soul, that Jesus is interceding for me in heaven and the Holy Spirit is interceding with me here on earth. And that will help me and does help to listen to God, to listen to God. The other passage I want to read from Romans is found at the end of the chapter, end of the letter, in Romans 16. And this is Romans 16, 25 to 27. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ago, ages, has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings have been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only one wise, the only wise God, be glory forever, more through Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Paul, at the end of this incredible letter, is praise, is focused for God's great power through his gospel, which he's given us. His gospel that he's given us. He's praising also for God's great provision in the gospel. He's given us the gospel, but the gospel has great provision for us, that Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, that I be forgiven, restored, renewed. And thirdly, Paul praises God for giving us the great person in the gospel, for giving us Jesus Christ. And I suppose when it comes to those times of major distraction, when my heart is hardened, when I've struggled because of pride, when I've struggled with things like worry, when I struggle with, yes, pain and ill health, it's when those times come that I can look at the prayers of those who've gone before and adapt them to me, put my words in, I, me in those words. But also, I can go to his word which he's given us, this written word that was given to lead us to the living word, that I can just look at and grow in his ability to speak to me. To know, to read his word is such a blessing to us, especially as we are trying to hear his voice and listen to his voice. And the question becomes this, doesn't it? Is, as I'm struggling with all these distractions in my prayer life, I have to ask myself the question, and even after these number of years of being a follower of Jesus, I'm still asking myself the question, how can I make a difference on earth for heaven's sake? How can I grow in my hearing of God, in my listening to his word? How can I do that? In 2 Chronicles 17, there's a little verse which is an extraordinary little verse. It's describing Jehoshaphat. You know, the king then is the only king I know of, or world leader, who's gone into battle with a choir leading the nation into battle. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 6, we read these words, Jehoshaphat, his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. Was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And I was thinking and praying about today, yesterday, the first time it happened, I was thinking, how can I be more courageous as I step out to hear God? And as I step out to listen to him? How can I be more courageous in my following Jesus, in my discipleship? How can I move beyond good intention? How can I overcome my fears, my regrets? How can I overcome all those distractions that just plague me all the time? Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, not quite strictly founder, but obviously his name was attached to it. But what he said these words, to, I think, some students at Stanford University. He said, stay hungry and stay foolish. Stay hungry and stay foolish. And my prayer for myself today, and my prayer for all of us here this morning, is that actually the Lord will keep us hungry for him. That we'll be hungry for his word. That we'll be hungry to press into his presence, to dwell with him. That the Lord will speak afresh to us through his word. That will speak afresh to us through his prophetic word. That God will increase our hunger for him. And that also my prayer for myself and for all of us here today is that God will increase our sensitivity to his voice. There's that lovely little passage in Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. That's what I believe the Lord wants to do with us this morning. The Spirit of God wants to come upon us and just open our eyes to see this amazing face of our Savior and to hear this amazing voice of our Savior speaking to us. And I believe the Lord also wants to really encourage us in stepping out to go through, to break through those hurts and those regrets and those all those horrible, horrible, silly distractions to press into where we start to hear him afresh in a brand new way. So let's please stand. You know, sometimes the old songs, which perhaps we haven't sung for years, can speak so much to us. You know, draw me closer to you. I love your presence. In recent times, I've been just really loving, you know, some of the old hymns, which contain so much good stuff. You know, I was brought up when I was a curate by a vicar who used to say that song, The Old Rugged Cross, was a dreadful hymn. They used to say it was almost sort of like a sort of idol. But actually, even though it is a very strange hymn, it is still focusing on the cross. And that's got to be a good thing. So let's just be quiet. Maybe a good idea to put the hands out in front, just to be in that place of receiving from God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, please pour out your Spirit upon us here now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is even now, at this very moment, at 11:44 our time, praying for us. Thank you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, pour out your Holy Spirit now upon us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. He's just upon a number of poke at the moment. He's just meeting with you at the moment. Just receive him. Just receive more of him. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to come forward. To come forward. Come before the cross. It's a good place. To come before, if you've actually been struggling with how you've prayed, whether you've been hearing God, whether you're struggling with all those horrible distractions, the real, that really are real in your life, how you long to see his face, how you long to hear his voice, I want to invite you to come forward and to receive his ministry and his grace and his empowering. Father, we thank you that you know our hearts. You know how much we love you and how much we struggle at times. You know those things that become part of us, that sometimes we're like Macbeth, bound into saucy doubts and sins. Father God, I pray now in Jesus' name, and Father, in Jesus' name, just pour out your Holy Spirit upon these dear folk here this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, now. More of your Spirit to come. More, 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 more. Come, Holy Spirit, more, more. Just a time just to say to him, Lord, I'm sorry for my being distracted, but thank you that you are a God of grace. Grace and grace and grace and mercy. That you'll never let me go. So, Father, now forgive me, but come and now empower me afresh today. Fill me with such a fresh passion and love for Jesus today that my hearing will be opened in a new way. So, Father, I pray now in Jesus' name for spiritual ears to be touched right now in Jesus' name. I pray for spiritual ears to be opened. Father, I pray for an impartation of your gospel word into the hearts and lives of people. Lord, give us a fresh understanding of your word. But Lord, above all, Lord, we're praying for a fresh experience of the word of God through you speaking to us. Father, I pray for that anointing, that prophetic anointing. I pray for you to speak afresh into our hearts and lives, Jesus. More, Lord, more, more, more. Not only, Lord, for spiritual ears, Lord, I'm also praying, Lord, for spiritual seeing, that we'll see you. Lord, cause us to see what you're doing. Cause us to see you at work. When Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to his house, he did not offer him hospitality. So a woman came off the street and washed Jesus' feet. A woman of the street came to wash his feet. Simon was outraged, and Jesus says to Simon, Simon, did you see this woman? Now, let's be honest. With our prejudices, we will often not see what God is doing. But God's going to give us an amazing spiritual sight to see what he's doing, to see what he's at work. And he's going to show us, and he's going to speak to us. And our listening to God is going to get deeper and deeper. So, dear God, I'm praying now, Father God, that you'll break off. I break off distractions upon you now. I set you free from those distractions. I'm giving you a parting, you a sense of love and desire. And you'll be longing to hear him and spend time with him. Guard your hearts, dear God. Guard the hearts. May there be a freshness of your spirit. Fill them, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord. We love you and bless you, Lord. We love you and bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That you're for us, that you're praying for us, that you love us, that you're for us in heaven and you're with us on earth. And give us such a fresh passion to hear you and to know you and to love you. And may we just be filled completely anew with a desire and experience to hear you and to know you and to listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love your presence. We love your presence. Draw us closer to you, we pray. So I think that's a little segue for the musicians, if they can, to say, just continue in this place. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord just loves you. He's just saying to you your name. He's just touching your spiritual ears, even your physical ears. At the end of the service, there's an opportunity to have further ministry over here on my right, your left. I want to encourage you to press in, but don't give up now. Let the words we're going to hear sung, and we're going to join in, let those words also minister the Lord's love to you and his grace and his desire to speak to you and to know you.